This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the federal government shutdown drags on, President Trump is urging Senate Republicans to end the filibuster, which requires 60 votes to reopen the government. Scrapping that threshold means only a simple majority would be allowed and needed. His new name is simply Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the former Duke of York, stripped of all his titles, including Prince, for his association with the late sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, Royals expert Alastair Bruce on the former Prince Andrew.
Monumental what the king has done. He has acted almost with the determination of a medieval monarch in separating his brother Andrew from all elements of title and style that normally people who are born into the royal family keep.
There were thousands of flight delays and cancellations yesterday due mostly to weather in the Northeast. Today will be a very windy Halloween. Wind gusts of up to 50 miles an hour in New York City. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This week, the Badger Project, a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism group in Wisconsin, reported that it was clearly illegal for the Richland County Sheriff's Department and Richland Center Police Department to charge a minimum $25 fee for all records requests. It stated that, quote, "The law enforcement agency's minimum fees, experts say, contradict Wisconsin state law that states any charges for records request must be tied to a calculation of the actual cost of producing the records," end quote. Michael Wendell serves as corporate counsel for both the City of Richland Center and Richland County. When talking with Wendell, he took full responsibility for the issue. In a memo he wrote to County Administrator Tricia Clements, that, quote, "You have tasked me with a review of the sheriff's policy of charging a minimum $25 fee for the provision of records subject to a public records request. As this was included in the summary fee schedule adopted by the board at its November 19, 2024 meeting, I expanded that review to include any such fees from any department set forth. My opinion after this review is that the sheriff policy is inconsistent with state statutes, and I believe additional information is needed regarding the fees laid out in other departments, as they may be as well. However, I will note that I was consulted regarding the sheriff's policy prior to its implementation, and while I believe a miscommunication occurred, I was not sufficiently diligent in ensuring I had communicated clearly and prevented the passage of an unlawful policy. Ultimately, the fault is mine, and I both apologize for failing to address this sooner and thank the organizations that brought the matter to light," end quote.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A big night for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors 120 to 110. And that was without Giannis, who was scratched an hour before the game with knee soreness. Ryan Rollins stepped up with a career high 32 points and was able to guard Stephen Curry. Doc Rivers.
I think you can put Ryan on anyone in as far as a guard. You know, Steph, there is no tougher guard, maybe in NBA history, other than Michael. To be able to guard Steph and then still score points, the number one thing it tells you about his conditioning level, and then it tells you about his mental toughness.
Baseball, Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays up 3-2 over the Dodgers. NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Month and says the team is getting better every day.
We're just getting more advanced, and, you know, it's a good thing when everyone's knowledgeable, when everyone's coming to work to learn, and everyone knows when their opportunity is going to be there.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Partly sunny to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers possible. Our high in the low 50s this afternoon. Tonight, a few showers, maybe even a rogue flurry at some point. Our low down to around 32 tomorrow. Scattered showers, mostly cloudy, high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
The Dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The Daggers.
Got it, count it, and a foul. John Blackwell is beautiful.
Exclamation point.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good again! And that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Winter for three straight on straight in.
Matt and Air on Air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of civic media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of civic media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Join us for a special Halloween edition next time. Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with spooky headlines. And on a serious note, celebrating Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos with Juan Garcia.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
It's a special Halloween edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Powered by Up North News. Live from the haunted Lake Wissota studio, here's your ghost host, Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah, I got my last-minute costume baseball cap on. I am ready to roll. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us, Parker Olson producing things as well. On a Halloween Friday, Dr. Lyerly not with us on Monday because somebody was at the Packers-Steelers game and wore out her voice. Let's see if it's any better today. Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
Good morning. It was worth it because I personally felt responsible, as did all of the Packer fans around me, for the Go Pack, Go Cheers. So you're welcome.
Thank you. Well, it worked. You know, Aaron Rodgers talked about how he had to use a silent count for the first time and, you know, at a home game for him. So that was cool. Good work out of you.
It was so cool. I mean, we got to the beginning of the fourth quarter and the Steelers fans, who were awesome, by the way, the people in Pittsburgh were amazing, but they started just streaming out of the stadium and we stayed.
Of course.
And oh my gosh, we just had so much fun.
Oh, that's so great. Let's see from good morning from Tigerton writes Rob on YouTube. It's cloudy and 37 on a Halloween Friday. Yesterday was a great day working outside, mowing leaves, doing paperwork for the mowing season. He says 2 years ago, we had a white Halloween with 6 inches of snow. Let's see, had a white Halloween and Christmas. It was 51 degrees. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a white Halloween 2 years ago, and he had a brown Christmas when it was 51 degrees. So, yeah, that's how this works. Let's see. Oh, Rob also writes, my mom helped start the Tigerton Community Cupboard, a community food bank by the Tigerton area churches and businesses. I used to help my mom distribute food for the community cupboard for many years. He writes, please help out your community food banks.
We're going to be
talking later to legislative candidate Emily Cephos, who we'll get into this more with her. But you said Emily is getting noticed for her work to help support all these food banks. Alicia writes on YouTube, Emily was out there last night in the dark picking up food. That woman is an icon. She is a true leader.
She has little kids, too. So her kids are with her in the car, driving all over the Fox Valley, picking up food, delivering it, making sure people do not go hungry. This is personal for Emily, and I'm sure we're going to get into it.
Absolutely, we will. So this week, of course, well, let's start with that. The food banks are needing help, you know, because of the SNAP benefits that are being cut. And I mean, on a day-to-day basis, Kristen, you talk to patients who and going through their daily struggles. I don't know that they've ever felt more like political pawns than right now.
I think they're really starting to get it. But we're talking about 1 in 8 Americans who receive SNAP benefits, who depend on SNAP benefits. And these are children, elderly folks, folks with disabilities, our most vulnerable population. And we have the money. We have the contingency funds there. All they have to do is release it to make sure that these people can continue to get access to food. What is going on with our government? A government that is for the people, that is meant to be that foundation for us. Instead, they're using these people as pawns, and we're doing everything that we can to do what Emily Cephos is doing, to run around and fill the food banks and volunteer and help out as much as we are able to. But this is a government deal. and they need to step up.
Well, there has to be the willingness to, you know, and right now they almost seem to revel in, you know, the we always say that line, the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
And it really seems to be having an impact with them. And I'm still struck by this feeling like if they just say Democrat shutdown and Schumer shutdown, if they just say it enough that people will believe it. And don't get me wrong, the Marquette poll shows that people are angry at both parties, but they do know this is not a chicken and egg situation. They do know this had a clear start with somebody.
Can I just float an idea that I've been tossing around in my head that we have not talked about?
Go for it.
This thought, so I live in northeastern Wisconsin, where people tend to vote for Republicans, but they're actually pretty independent. Mm-hmm. But the Democratic label is kind of toxic here. People love to say, oh, I don't know, I'm not a part of that.
I vote for the person, not the party. Yeah.
I'm in the middle. I hear a lot of people saying, I'm in the middle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there really isn't a middle. I mean, the middle of what? At this stage in this country, where our government is literally starving vulnerable people, where's the middle for that? You have to pick a side when it comes to these issues. So I think that it's really important for us as neighbors and friends and community members not to talk about this in terms of politics, but to talk about it in terms of what is right. And saying I'm in the middle does not solve this problem, but stepping up and talking to your representative and saying, you need to do that, you need to go back to work, you need to release these funds. Mm-hmm. That's what we need from our representatives, from our neighbors right now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, our caller earlier, Ollie from the Northwoods, who said it is just time to get on the phone, call the White House switchboard,
yes.
Call your congressional representative, whether they're, you know, whichever side they're on, let them hear from you that this is a real concern. And now we're seeing Head Starts in Wisconsin are going to start closing their doors. That's going to put some parents into high anxiety, not just for their kids, but for their work. Do they have to stay home from work? Will they lose their job as a result? This is getting real for a lot of folks starting this weekend.
It is. And I know that it feels uncomfortable to have to take a side, but you have to take a side right now. You have to step up for what's right. And you don't have to declare it, but you definitely have to stand for what you believe in.
Yeah. And so a lot of this, of course, is centered on the skyrocketing cost of health insurance, mm-hmm. going back to the bad old days, pre-Obamacare, which is what Republicans want. And so starting tomorrow, open enrollment season for policies in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. We've given some of the specific numbers throughout the course of the week here around Wisconsin, Kristen, but you're the one who's actually talked to people who come with some trepidation because they don't have health insurance, or you didn't, they should have come to you a lot earlier, but of course they didn't have health insurance. And we're just going back to some bad old days here with these kinds of price hikes.
I am so worried about this. The health insurance, our healthcare system is already so fundamentally broken. But when people can't afford to go to the doctor, and they know, you know when you have a problem, you know when you should get it checked out, and you're weighing in your head, like, is it worth it? Do I really want to spend this money? As it gets more expensive, it's harder to put that money out there to actually do that thing to take care of yourself. But, you know, having diagnosed advanced cancers and cardiovascular disease, which is the heart disease, is the number one killer of all of us. There are things that we can do. There are steps that we can take to control your blood pressure and your cholesterol and to advise you on how to live a healthier life so that you'll live longer and better. There are things we can do if you can get to the doctor. But if you can't, that's a problem. And if you have to wait and you end up in the emergency department, it's expensive. They often can't do anything for you. That's not healthcare. That's putting out fires. They can mm-hmm. treat your stroke or your heart attack, but they can't help you manage your blood pressure or your diabetes long term.
No.
And if you can't afford it and you end up in the emergency department, you end up with medical debt. The hospital ends up having to write it off, and the entire community ends up paying for it. It is a lose-lose on all levels when people can't access healthcare.
Yeah. One part of it is being attacked by the Secretary for Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr. On our website right now is the article, RFK Jr. is ignoring 100 studies or more to push his abortion pill ban. This is the mifepristone explainer you need. And so that article is on our website. So for folks who can't get to it, maybe you can talk a bit more. I know you put something on your Facebook this week about medication abortion, and yet the Trump administration is still making moves to make it no longer available.
I'm the mifepristone explainer that you need. Absolutely. I can talk about it. The mifepristone is one of the medications that we use in medication abortion, also for managing miscarriages. It's used in most abortions in this country, actually the majority these days. It is safe. It is effective. We've been using it for decades. We've got tons of evidence that shows that it works and it is a good thing. And it is actually life-saving for so many people. But again, because of politics, the FDA has agreed to review this medication, and we all know where this is going to end up. They're going to end up putting restrictions on it, or maybe even pulling it entirely, making it inaccessible for people. And this is how Donald Trump enacts his backdoor abortion ban. He can't do it through the front door. We've had referendum after referendum all across this country that show that people support the right to choose to make your own personal healthcare decisions. But Donald Trump doesn't, and his administration doesn't. And this is their trick to force us to do what they want us to do.
We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley, who also hosts the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. And you can also follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. What you got going on this weekend?
I think we're Saturday and Sunday at noon now.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking to Fran Hung, Representative Fran Hung, candidate for Wisconsin Governor Fran Hung. You're going to want to listen to this one. So we're doing a series talking with all of the candidates for governor on the Democratic side. I'll invite the Republicans too. I just have a gut feeling they're not going to show up. Yeah. But Fran is spicy, and she's got some great, really well thought out ideas. And I'll tell you one thing, Fran is for the people. She's been a dishwasher. She's owned a restaurant. She understands what working people are going through. And you're going to hear that loud and clear this weekend.
Yeah, without a doubt. So listen to that coming up this weekend. Let's see from Alicia on YouTube. We've got active duty military classified as leave without pay. She says that's basically AWOL, which means there's a potential of not getting back pay if you're on leave without pay. That's insane. Rob from Tigerton followed up with it with a comment. It's sad that we treat our military personnel on duty 24/7 protecting this country and don't get paid. Many are very close to harm's way. But the other point with that is the Trump administration is saying, well, we're going to find a way to pay them. Well, again, that's fine. But that is you playing favorites, because there are still so many essential workers across the federal government who aren't going to get paid. And you know, you can't just hide behind the military and say, well, we're paying them, so everything's okay. That's not okay at all. Why are you holding back anybody's pay? Why aren't you just operating a functional federal government?
Here's the easy way to do it. Negotiate, reopen the government, put everything back in place. It's all right there. Everybody gets paid. Everybody's happy. Seems simple to me. When I was coming back from Pittsburgh, I saw a TSA agent, a lot of them actually. And you know, I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm friendly. So I asked how they were doing. And this person just looked at me and said, some of us are going to food banks. The government should be embarrassed. Those are his exact words. And I was shocked. Like, usually they're so stoic and they don't say anything, but he was clearly suffering.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put my hand on his shoulder. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I just couldn't help it because he was just like so angry. This is so fundamentally unfair and so fixable if we actually had a government that was for the people, if the Republicans would just go back to Washington, D.C., where the Democrats are waiting and doing the work, and just negotiate. Just negotiate.
Oh, but that would mean ending their paid vacation, where they're trying so hard to spin this. But again, call your congressperson's office and give that very simple message. Go back to D.C. Go back and do the job that we are paying you to do.
That's right.
Quick look at sports at 8:20, and then Kristen and I will be joined by Emily Cephos as well. The Milwaukee Bucks, Ryan Rollins. Wouldn't it be something for
that would be
for the Milwaukee
wild.
Bucks? That That would be something. Ryan Rollins set a personal scoring high, 32 points, helping the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors 120-110, even without Giannis, who missed the game due to a sore left knee. Miles Turner added 17 points for the Bucks. The Badger hockey team defeated the Minnesota Gophers, and they will play again on Saturday. The women's hockey team taking on the Gophers tonight and tomorrow in Madison as well. Thanks for joining us live from the lake. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Let's say you have a couple who's about to get married. You get them a gift at the wedding shower. You get them a gift at the wedding. You get them a gift at the baby shower. If they buy a house, you get them a housewarming gift.
I have never been married. I doubt I ever will be. What do? You just say, I'm going to celebrate my singlehood. Bring me a gift. Brett Brown Deere says, Todd, you don't get a gift for not getting married because you already won by staying single.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors, too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at Southwestern Wisconsin sports. Joining us is Travis Wilson from Bound, Wisconsin, as we preview high school football this weekend. Travis, let's begin in 8-player, North Crawford at Gilman.
That's going to be a tough one for North Crawford. They're undefeated. Gilman's undefeated. Gilman has been ranked number one in our Bound, Wisconsin 8-player coaches poll much of the season. Real powerhouse program that's a great history as well. Their head coach, Rod Rosemeyer, been there for 20-plus years and has a state championship or two under his belt back in 11-player. But, you know, North Crawford's definitely got a shot. They're a strong team. I will say that I think Gilman's played a little better competition to this point. Their conference is a little bit stronger. But, you know, a great game in 8-player. This is actually level 3 in 8-player, of course, with the expanded playoffs and starting playoffs a week earlier for them. So we're down to the state quarterfinals, and anybody that's got here has obviously earned it, and some outstanding games this weekend, especially in 8-player, because, again, we're actually a step farther there than 11-player.
Wazika Steuben-Seneca and 11-player football going to Hilbert tonight. What do you look about that game?
That's going to be an interesting one. You know, we talked about Wazika being a team that their only two losses this year were very close games against very good teams. Now, with Hilbert, they're a team that for many years has kind of taken advantage of the drop-down effect, as we like to call it, where, you know, they've played some pretty good-sized competition, larger competition, some D6, D5 teams even throughout the year. The Big East Conference prepares them well for the postseason. So, you know, they get the benefit of that. So it'll be a tough one for Wazika, especially traveling that far across the state. It's one of the longer trips on the schedule this weekend. We'll see where that one goes.
In the top part of the bracket, Blackhawk Warren and Cashton meeting tonight in Potosi, Cassville, and Johnson Creek. Are we going to see a rematch in the Six Rivers here next week or not?
That's kind of what I'm anticipating. That's what I'm thinking will happen. Now, with that said, Blackhawk Warren struggled mightily last week. Now, that was a little different scenario. They were playing River Ridge, who is a very good team, a team they'd already played once, a team that had, you know, a few losses in the very tough Six Rivers Conference. So we'll see if that was just kind of that anomaly of playing a team again, or if maybe that was a little bit of a sign of some weakness by Blackhawk Warren. And Cashton certainly played better as the season has gone along. A nice shutout win on the road in level one over Brookwood. So a nice win for them. But I think most people are anticipating that Six Rivers rematch next week with Blackhawk Warren and Potosi Cassville.
Moving to Division Six, Fenimore at Darlington. This Darlington team seems to be for real, Travis.
For real and then some. You talk about most dominant teams in the state this year, and Darlington is right up there with anybody. They already got a win over Fenimore, who's certainly had a very nice kind of resurgent season, have the Golden Eagles. But what Darlington's been able to do to this point has been awfully impressive. Just loaded with talent. Their junior quarterback, Zeke Zuberhubler, just a dynamic athlete. They've got, I don't know, still three or four crisp kids out there. So they can do some damage for sure. And again, a team that they beat already 37-6 earlier in the season.
Bangor representing Ridgeon Valley at Mondovi tonight as well. How do you see that one?
Mondovi is one of the best teams in the state. Their only loss was a Hail Mary loss to Regis earlier this year in one of the absolute best games of the entire season. And it's a tough one for Bangor, a tough draw to get the Buffaloes, who, again, are one loss, two seed, but are one of the three or four best teams in the entire state in Division Six. With that said, again, a nice resurgent season a little bit for Bangor as well. They've really stepped forward in that Scenic Bluffs Conference and took control of that league. So a tough one for the Cardinals.
Division Five representing Six Rivers, Prairie du Chien and Stratford. Prairie gets a chance to look at Stratford this week, Travis.
Rematch of last year's state semifinal game, I think it was, right? Between those two teams. I think that one was played over at Wisconsin Dells, if I remember correctly, last year. And, you know, very different teams, certainly. Prairie du Chien, very different from last year with the graduation that they had. And Stratford, the three-time defending state champions. But you know, I don't know that they're quite at the same level they have been the last couple of years. Either way, it's a tough one for Prairie du Chien to go on the road, as we saw with Richland Center last week. Just a tough place to play with arguably the best, you know, one of the best small school programs in the entire state.
I don't know if you looked at it as an upset, but seed-wise, Platteville getting the win last week over Lodi. The Hillmen's still alive in the tournament.
I was shocked by that one. I'll put it right out there. I did not see that one coming. Lodi coming out of the Capital Conference has usually taken care of some of the SWC schools over the years in the playoffs. I did not see that one coming. Platteville certainly is a team that has the talent to do some good things, especially offensively. But to go on the road and get that win, in my opinion, was one of the bigger surprises, and certainly in the division and around the state in level one, but a good credit to the Hillmen. Now they get the pleasure of going on the road to the defending runners-up in Division Four, all the way up to Baldwin-Woodville, who's a very impressive team. They're not quite where they were last year. They had a kid, Gavin Sell, last year that just did everything for them. He's now at North Dakota State. So he's gone, but still a very good, solid program. But we'll see. If Platteville's going to have to score a lot in that one. There's no doubt about that. I mean, that they're going to have to win with 35, 40 points probably to have a shot. If it's a low-scoring game or if they can't get, you know, 30-plus on the board, that certainly favors Baldwin-Woodville.
How about your Reedsburg Beavers tonight at Edgewood? How do you see the game?
Well, hopefully it goes well. We took care of business last week. In fact, our running back, Will McConowitz, who I've had the pleasure of coaching since third-grade flag football, ran for the second-highest yardage total in state history, 498 yards on 30 carries, 7 touchdowns. Just an incredible performance to see in person. Big credit to our offensive line, of course, and tight ends, including my son, Brett Wilson, who's a senior. Don't want to be done with that group. Again, I've been with them for a long time, and we're looking to continue some things. If we can, you know, hold up defensively, I think we'll be all right.
All right. Appreciate your expertise. Travis Wilson from Bound, Wisconsin, looking at high school football playoff action in southwestern Wisconsin. I am Phil Nee, and pleased to be updating you on sports during Pat Kreitlow mornings. That's what we do. We hope you have a happy Halloween, and keep it tuned right here to WRCE in Richland Center.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The third annual Bev's Walk will be held this weekend in Richland Center. Hillary Burns-Kite is an organizer of the event.
I'm excited that people have, you know, wanted to come out the last couple years, and the past 2 years, I think Pastures has been kind of the lead on organizing it, and with the thought that when we were ready as a family to kind of take that over, then that would be passed along to us. So I'm kind of the main person for that now. And so it's been a good process to be a part of, and just kind of fun gathering ideas and putting the thought behind it, and working with other partners who worked with my mom, and just kind of remembering a way to remember her in the community and keep her name out there. And we're just really thankful for those who have shown interest and are still supporting.
You are invited to join others at the Earl Anderson Shelter in Crosscut Park and support the Grateful Scholarship in memory of Beverly Pittman Burns. Hillary says the walk will be as in the past years. A welcome is planned for 10 o'clock Saturday morning, with the walk beginning at 10:15.
Anyone who is gathered at that time will start on the route together, and we'll be taking the walking path through the park to go to end up at the old community center, and then we'll go up Seminary Street to the courthouse, and then there's that bench that was placed there with my mom's name on it. And then from there, we would head back to Crosscut Park.
Help support the Grateful Scholarship in honor of Beverly Pittman Burns. $5 of every $25 donation or more will also be given to Passages as they continue support for survivors of domestic and sexual assault. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Partly sunny to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers possible. Our high in the low 50s this afternoon. Tonight, a few showers, maybe even a rogue flurry at some point. Our low down to around 32 tomorrow. Scattered showers, mostly cloudy, high of 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 32.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I am joined by attorney Robert Held. He felt compelled to go to Broadview outside of the ICE facility there and protest.
Everybody wants gang members who are non-citizens who've committed violent crime to be arrested, prosecuted, or deported. But that is not what's happening in Chicago. Federal agents decided to open that gate and literally march into the protesters rather than use the other exit. I was arrested. I hadn't committed a crime.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
Get yourself over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top and subscribe to our daily newsletter. The weekday edition today includes an article about the way that federal cuts are threatening rural Wisconsin in so many ways. We've talked about it a lot on this program, but get a few more details by finding that article on our website or subscribing to our weekday newsletter. And then there's our Sunday morning newsletter, conveniently named Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about some of the political stories of the week. There's also a question of the week. And this week's question was, should a new nuclear power plant be built in the Kewaunee area, where there had been a plant that was then decommissioned? And there's been talk about building a brand new nuclear power plant there, one that supporters say would generate electricity without contributing to, you know, climate change. Others saying that the risks aren't worth it. For the first part of the week, the answers were decidedly 50-50 in nature. And now after this program, I'm going to tally up all the rest of the emails that have come in responding to the newsletter. We'll have the answer coming up this Sunday morning, along with a new question of the week. Again, subscribe over at upnorthnewswi.com. Joined once again by Dr. Kristen Lierley and Emily Cephos, who is running for state senate in the Fox Valley. And Kristen, of course, has the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, which you can hear Saturdays and Sundays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Kristen, you are no stranger to the topic of the federal cuts harming rural health care. We've talked about that at length. And Emily, you have a Senate district that was a lot like mine over here in the western part of the state. It's got some, you know, it's got some incorporated areas, but there's a whole lot of area that is decidedly rural and feels forgotten in Madison or Washington, and you're there to tell them that somebody actually is listening and wanting to work on their behalf.
Yeah, I think that we have like Wapaka that lost their maternity ward earlier this year in their hospital. And a lot of people that I've talked to, again, like kind of pulling from what I did in 2024, but certainly this hasn't changed, is that it's really, it's hard to get access or to care close to you. And it's really difficult for a lot of working folks to find what they need in order to like live healthy lives in their townships. And we really want to like point out the root cause of that instead of it just being like, this thing happened. Like we really need to start naming plainly, repeatedly, who's accountable, like who made the decisions. Every pain point is a policy choice. And that's what I'm going to try to do this time around.
I want to say that every pain point is a policy choice, which is so true. And I think we, especially in rural areas, are so reluctant, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, to pick a side. It's like we are loyal to our team and we just don't want to let that go. But clearly, one team is not working on behalf of the people. And it's having that conversation, that face-to-face, Emily, that you are so good at when you knock on somebody's door and you start talking about the things that people care about. And you are, you so gently help people understand, this isn't working for you, and it's because of this. This isn't working for you, and it's because of this. And creating that trust and helping people understand truly how this tribalism is tearing us apart. These are the conversations we need to be having with our friends and neighbors. And they're hard conversations to have, but they are necessary.
Yeah, I think that with the misinformation and like the just the way that the machine works on either side with media and things like that, it's getting back to the one-on-one conversation. It's painfully slow, surely, to be doing this kind of stuff. But I've been on so many doors where they're either like politically apathetic or they've got a lot of misinformation. And then to like have an honest, respectful conversation and say, like, you tell me that you're not political, but I see you taking care of your autistic grandson because your daughter had an issue with addiction. Like, that's all political because it either helps what you're trying to do for your own self to make things manageable, or it hurts people like you. And like, those are the kind of things where it's like, you see those light bulbs go off, you know, and people are like, oh my gosh, you're right. And what I think, like Pat, you mentioned, people feel left behind and forgotten. It's because everything is so big and ambiguous, and you like the economy is the stock market and blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it's people sitting that are stressed at the end of every month with bills on their kitchen table. Yes. They're like, how am I going to do this? Right? Like, how am I going to pay this again and save for something like retirement? And so we really just need to get back to the brass tacks and talking about that without letting that twist and contortion kind of put them against us.
Emily Cephos is a candidate for state Senate. You can learn more about Emily at emilycephos.com. That's Emily T as in Tom, Emily T-S-E-F-F-O-S, about the race that she's running there. And Emily and Kristen, there's also, of course, the aspect of things. I mean, we're always trying to like explain the little nuances in policy that are hurting rural areas. But then there's the things that are readily apparent, like China buying no soybeans from Wisconsin farmers, and then the Trump administration, you know, giving $40 billion to Argentina and saying we're going to import beef. And sometimes it feels like you just need to knock on some of these doors. They're already aware of that and go, see?
I know. It's so tempting, but I keep telling people, don't do that. Like, I keep telling people,
it doesn't,
because you want
good.
To. Yeah. It doesn't. And I think like what I'm trying to like get across to people is to say, like, as you know, people are feeling that stress that what's created by this administration or by people in Madison, like, they lied to you. They told you costs were going to go down. They told you that the market, the global market for your crops or your beef would be better than ever. That's not happening. And you're seeing it happen. And I'm so sorry that they lied to you. But let's talk about what I want to bring to the table, or the kind of transparency and accountability that I would bring in leadership to make sure that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. We don't want people taking advantage of each other. And frankly, like, again, when we're talking, it's not left or right anymore. It's top versus bottom. And it's people that are taking advantage of that. And while we're toiling away and fighting at the bottom, all the people at the top are laughing all the way to the bank. Like, and it's, and I think that that is a critical piece of this as well.
Any 100%. Any chance it's too late to change how you're running? On the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, Cephos for governor. Just that basic. So,
you know, flattering. I have three kids and the Senate district is quite big enough for me. And there's some great candidates that have already emerged in the field. So yeah, we're good to go here.
Well, and
but you know, there is the future. So let's keep that in mind.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's always that. Emily's also serving as a county chair for the Outagamie County Democratic Party. So Emily, both you and Kristen have another role that you're playing this time of year. It maybe isn't really firing up yet, but it should, and it will real soon. And that's finding candidates for some of these other districts to run. And candidate recruitment, I don't know, is it harder because Donald Trump actually won last time around and people are discouraged? Or might it be a little easier because now they've seen what his wrecking ball has metaphorically and literally done?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I think that there are people that are not excited, but they feel it's their responsibility right now as things are hollowing out to go and serve their community in that way. And that is incredible to see. I do think that especially in these non-targeted districts, like where I ran and where I'm running, that it's a really tough ask because you know you're kind of like left out there to build and do your own thing. And so what I want to do, like what part of the reason that I'm excited about running for Senate is that it encompasses those three assembly districts. So really working in coordination, and Kristen, you like set us up in the 8th CD to do this, like really collaborating and being as strong as we can. And when you do that, like hopefully you see more people that are like, okay, as long as I'm not alone, like I can do this with you. And so we really want it to be like a team effort, you know, like we're all in this together kind of thing.
That's exactly what we need. I think in the past, we've looked at these districts and said, there is a candidate running in this district and it's about the candidate. But in Northeast Wisconsin, it's about our team working with the county chairs, with the food banks, with the other candidates. And it's this giant collaborative effort. But still, it's hard for people to step up in an environment like this and put yourself in a partisan role, recognizing that the partisan divide is huge and uncomfortable. But if ever there was a time to take one for the team and to recognize the difference that you could make, this is that time.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us, along with Emily Cephos, as we talk about the 2026 races that are just coming, you know, coming into their own, with people announcing for all the various offices that are out there. And Kristen, I think it's important to remind folks that, you know, Emily's running for state senate, that last year we were talking all about the new fairer maps, and that all 99 assembly districts, you know, had been basically redrawn or you know, modified. But only half of the state Senate, because those terms are 4 years instead of two. So this next time is the other half of the state Senate having to run with these brand new maps for the first time. And just by luck of the draw, a lot of last year's state Senate races were pretty prominently Republican. There are a lot more state Senate districts in 2026 that are going to be up for grabs this year. We may end up with, if not the trifecta of a Democratic governor, Senate, and Assembly, coming closer than we have in 15 years.
That's the goal. I don't think we kept hearing about how gerrymandered we were. I don't think we really recognized, like truly felt how gerrymandered we were until we saw the new maps. Northeast Wisconsin is a great example of this. We had three state senators who lived literally within 6 miles of each other. They were just doop, 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 right next, like neighbors. They could walk to each other's houses, but they consumed the entire northeastern region of the state because of the way that these maps were drawn. Now that we've got fair maps in the state legislature, people get it. And people are going to get out and vote because they care. I believe in Wisconsinites. I know that Wisconsinites are independent thinkers, independent voters. That's what Emily is counting on. And she's having these conversations in some really tough districts. I think we, as neighbors, as Wisconsinites, we can really make a difference here.
Emily, when you made the decision to run, given the fairer maps, again, still, you know, not an easy campaign by any stretch, but you're talking to folks with the state Democratic Party, the Democratic Senate committee there, and then other Democrats who are running for state Senate as well as Assembly. And there has to be, you know, as much optimism as there ever has been, thanks to the way we finally got fairer maps in the state.
Yeah, I think that people, again, like are feeling that optimism. And it's weird because you're holding two truths in your hand. One is that things are not looking great for a lot of people that we care about. But two, like, now's our shot. And so I think that we need to like keep, you know, serving with community as the center and as the root of any of the things that we're doing, like not being so hyper-partisan in our messaging or like kind of just disregarding people's real and experienced like fear or anger and stuff like that, but really getting to like the root, like we all care about our family, our community, our country. So let's talk through without, again, all of the manufactured crises and hyperbolic outrage. Let's really talk through like the nuts and bolts of what's going to make life when you walk out your front door, how are we going to make it more livable, more affordable, safer for you? And let's work on that together. So I think that as long as our candidates are willing to do that work and talk to those issues, like we're going to see some really positive things coming out next year.
Emily, we're coming up on Halloween night. You've been busting your butt all week. Do you relax? Do you take people out trick or treating? Are you the candy hander outer? How are you going to take care of yourself tonight?
Well, I have three children and they have big plans for bags full of candy. So we have our
pillow
costumes.
Cases.
Yep. Yes, exactly. My middle son was like, I'm going to fill the whole thing. I'm like, that's a lot of candy, buddy. But we're going to be out trick-or-treating. So I'm going to do some running to pick up all the food this morning. And then I'm going to get out trick-or-treating with them in the afternoon.
Got a costume tonight or a favorite one that you've had in the past?
I'm always Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter because I have a robe and it's nice and warm and it's great. So that is my annual costume.
Yep. Actually, I was Dumbledore a couple of different times when my daughters were into Harry Potter. Very easy costume. Kristen, how about you tonight?
I'm making a big pot of soup and handing out goodies to all the kiddos and the grownups. We've got grown-up goodies.
You put the ladle of soup in the bag or do you individual? Oh, you mean for dinner before?
Just a soupy pillowcase.
That's weird.
That's so
weird. Melt the chocolate.
Sorry. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, listen for her show tomorrow at noon and Sunday as well across the Civic Media Radio Network. Emily Cephos, state Senate candidate at Emily TSE FFOS, EmilyCephos.com. Emily, Kristen, thank you so much. Have a great start to the weekend.
Happy Halloween.
All right. Bye. Great to talk to you both. Woo. When we come back, coming up, we'll close out with a game of tricks and treats. Politician or Disney villain? Politician or Disney villain? We'll explain after this. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose announced October 28th that his office had referred 1,200 illegal voting cases to the U.S. Justice Department for prosecution. But his track record of convictions is less than stellar, and many of the cases were previously declined by Ohio county prosecutors for lack of evidence. In 2024, LaRose demanded county prosecutors act on 633 cases of alleged voter fraud LaRose had referred for prosecution during his tenure. Only 12 cases were pursued, and only 6 resulted in an indictment because there wasn't enough evidence. The year before, LaRose pulled out of ERIC, the multi-state cooperative which updates state voter registration lists for voters who've moved, died, or may have duplicate registrations. In his latest crusade, which includes the cases county prosecutors chose not to prosecute, LaRose claims that 1,084 non-citizens registered to vote unlawfully in Ohio, including 167 non-citizens who cast a ballot in a federal election. Another 99 Ohio voters voted in 2 states in the same election, 16 voted twice in Ohio, 14 voted in a federal election after the date of their death, 4 engaged in ballot collection, and 2 registered where it was not their primary residence. It's now up to federal prosecutors to separate fact from fiction. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Scarier than a gas station breakfast burrito. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
Gas station sushi can be counted in there as well. The Milwaukee Bucks' Ryan Rollins set a personal scoring high, 32 points, to help the Bucks beat Golden State last night, 120 to 110. Giannis sat out with a sore left knee. Let's see. There's also college hockey to tell you about coming up Saturday. The Badger men's hockey team will host Minnesota. 5:30, the pregame begins on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And Sunday, Packers hosting the Carolina Panthers. Pregame begins at 10 a.m. on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Time to introduce the audience to a new character here on the program. And by character, I mean an individual. I don't mean like this is his real name, Frank Gargano, who serves as one of our new senior producers at Civic Media. Frank, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Pat. It's been a fun week being on the show. I know Parker's mentioned the man behind the curtain a couple of times, so it's great to finally be on and meet all of you. Thank you for putting up with me as I put you two to the test in a game real quick. You guys ready?
I'm glad you're bringing ideas here. And this one is called what, Disney villain or politician?
We have politician or Disney villain. Obviously, yeah. Disney villains are always popular costumes this time of year. So, you know, we talk a lot about politics. So let's end the show on a light note, and we'll see if you guys can guess if these quotes are attributed to famous politicians or classic Disney villains. So it's going to be Pat versus Parker. I'm going to read the quote. You both will give your guess, politician or Disney villain, and then Parker will play the clip. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Oh, yeah.
And just so you know, you guys are playing for a prize. The winner will get a free beverage of their choice, courtesy of yours truly.
Oh, well, okay. Let me take the next step toward that old-fashioned and go with question number one.
Excellent choice. Question number one. Here's the quote. You know it takes a lot longer to build a lie than to tell the simple truth.
Ooh.
It takes a lot longer to build a lie than to tell the simple truth.
I'm going to go with politician.
I'm thinking politician, too.
Both are going politician. Parker, play the clip.
You know it takes a lot longer to build a lie than to tell the simple truth.
That is correct. It was Speaker of the House Mike Johnson on that one.
Well, of course. Okay.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
Yep.
Bar he never tells a lie, right, Pat?
No, or is incapable of anything but. All right, question number two.
All right, we're tied at 1 point apiece. Number two, perfectly balanced as all things should be. Perfectly balanced as all things should be. What do we think?
It sounds like a Mary Poppins type thing. I'm going to, well, she's not a Disney villain. Well, maybe to some people. I would say Disney villain anyway.
Jeez.
I'm thinking that's going villain. Parker?
I'm thinking villain too.
All right. Both guessing the same thing twice in a row. Let's hear it.
Pretty, isn't it? Perfectly balanced as all things should be.
You guys were right. That was Thanos from the Avengers movies. Okay. Thanos.
Wow. Oh, we're even going Avengers on this.
That's a Disney. It's a Disney property.
Disney umbrella is gargantuan.
That is a Disney property. We're tied at 2 points apiece. On to number three. See, now you respect me because I'm a threat.
Oh, God. Oh,
ooh,
that's okay. See, now you respect me because I'm a threat. What
I really hope that it's a villain, so I'm going with that.
Okay,
Parker's going villain.
I'm going to go with politician.
Pat's going politician. Let's hear it.
See? Now you respect me because I'm a threat.
Parker gets the point in this one. That was Syndrome from The Incredibles.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. There we go. Score one for Parker.
Score one for Parker.
He's getting that close. He's getting that close to his beverage. Another glass of water.
I was going to say, yep. It's going to be a nice. What do you think? Dasani, Aquafina? What's your water?
Fiji's top of the line.
Fiji. Yeah. Come on.
Has to be.
Only great the finest choice. Of bottled
right.
water.
All right, moving on to question number four. Delay in dealing with the problems that we have equals death.
Ooh.
I think politician.
I'm going to go with politician as well.
Both are going politician. Let's hear that one.
Delay in dealing with the problems that we have equals death.
That's correct. That's Wisconsin Representative Tom Tiffany.
Which is awkward in that he is a politician of a Disney villain type in his own way. So I almost feel like we both can get the point for that one, but it still keeps Parker in the lead. All right. Next.
All right. For those of you just joining us, we are playing politician or Disney villain. We're reading famous quotes. Pat and Parker have to guess whether it was a politician or Disney villain. Right now, Parker leads 4-3. We have time for a couple more. Let's get to the next one. I'm surrounded by idiots.
I mean, everyone has said that at some point in their life.
Yeah. So what?
But it is famously attributed to this person. What do we think?
I think it's a villain.
Parker's going villain. Pat?
Politician.
Pat's going politician. Parker, let's hear it.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
That one was from Scar. That's from The Lion King.
Yes. I remember the quote well, but given that I have said it many a time myself in an ill temper, I'm going to give myself a point, having been a politician who probably uttered that at some point. So half a point for me.
Parker is getting away with the lead right now. It's 5-3. Parker, you know, as I was compiling this list with the thought for the game, I was like, wow, these really could go either way.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah. It's the genius of this game. All right.
Next one's real tricky. This one's they're lying. I'm over it. Stop it.
Oh, we know this one.
I mean, yeah. I knew Pat would know this one. Yeah.
Do we get an extra point?
We know this guy who should be a Disney villain and still has a chance to, after his congressional career is over, play a little Derek for us, Parker.
Yeah. They're lying. I'm over it. Stop it.
Derek Van Orden's greatest hits, boys and girls.
It's a classic. 6-4, Parker's in the lead. Let's see if Pat can close the gap real quick.
Real quick.
You have to be willing to do whatever it takes to seize your moment.
Villain.
Politician. There we go. Politician. He says villain. Play it.
Success doesn't come for free, Miguel. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes to seize your moment.
Who was that?
That one was Ernesto de la Cruz from Coco. I think that's all the time we have. Parker wins this one. Parker,
congratulations.
What's your beverage of choice?
It's going to be a good Fiji.
Love it. Fiji water. Thanks for playing along, guys.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks. Happy Halloween, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here Monday morning, bright and early, here up north.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. FBI Director Kash Patel announcing several arrests in Michigan of people who had been allegedly plotting a violent attack over Halloween weekend. They say more details will be released later today. The federal government shutdown is about to enter its second month, with federal food assistance due to run out starting tomorrow. ABC's Jay O'Brien's in Washington.
By mid-next week, this shutdown is going to break the record for the longest in U.S. history. And right now, it's definitely going for the record, because so far, and this can change, but so far, there's no deal in sight that would end this shutdown.
He's out. Prince Andrew, no longer a prince. The king, his brother Charles, has stripped him of all his titles, including that of prince, and he's been told to leave the estate where he lives on the grounds of Windsor Castle over his association with Jeffrey Epstein. Illinois advocates have sued federal authorities over alleged inhumane conditions at a Chicago-area immigration facility. This is ABC News.